And the, just to review, the thing to remember this, the reason that we do this is that in the Buddhist culture, we don't teach unless we're asked to. And there's also a recognition that we are setting the intention to be here for more than just ourselves. Like there's this vision that you could think of it as a perfect world. Another way to think of it is concentric circles. Like as we change and our hearts become more generous and awake and aware, then the way we interact with other people changes. And then they get inspired to be more kind and compassionate, wise. And then they treat other people differently. And if you imagine that, that just goes out in this big ripple effect, kind of like the pay it forward effect, where all of a sudden the whole world, everyone's treating each other with compassion and kindness and consideration. And so it's that sense that we first of all offer this world, this intention of that world, as a mandala, what we call a perfect world. And then we go for refuge, which means that we're acknowledging that the teachings that we're receiving, these ancient teachings from the Buddha, and the teacher, the Buddha himself as the first teacher, and all of our companions, that are spiritual companions and spiritual teachers, the ones that understand and have recognized emptiness and karma and compassion, that we wouldn't be here without them, right? And they're showing us the way. And that it's just like if a child gets scared, where do they go? They run to someone who they think is going to help them. And so it's that recognition that maybe our lives aren't quite working the way we would wish they would work. So where are we going to go for refuge? Where are we going to go for help? And it's to this teacher, the Buddha, the teachings of wisdom and compassion, and our spiritual community. Okay, so to remember that as we do that, especially, it's always good when we have prayers and things we chant all the time. Some of us start just saying them like blah, 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 blah. So it's good to have a real connection and a memory of what it is we're doing and why we're doing it. Hi, welcome.
Sashi Buki Jushin Meto Chan Mira Linchin Indegen Padi Sange Shindu Mikte Owagi Jokun Nanda Shingla Chupasho Hiram Guru Adna Mandra Kange Tayami Sange Shiram Soki Chognam La Janshu Badu Dakni Kapsu Chi Daki Chinyen Gipe Sunanki Jorwa Benshu Sange Jupa Sho Sange Shiram Soki Chognam La Janshu Badu Dakni Kapsu Chi Daki chenyen gipe sunamki Drola penchir sange drupa sho
Sange
shirang tsoki chaknam la Jongshu bayu dakni kyapsu chi Daki chenyen gipe sunamki Drola penchir sange
So we'll start with a meditation. So please find a comfortable posture, position, something that you can really feel at ease in for about 10, 12 minutes, maybe 15. And the idea with the posture is really to check in with our body and mind for today. Like what's going to serve us best? For some people, it may be sitting on a cushion, other on a chair. Others, it may be actually lying down in Shavasana. And then bringing awareness from our external environment into the single field of our interior environment. By bringing our awareness to the felt, tactile, physical sensations of our body. And a good place to begin to do that is to notice how it feels wherever it is that your body's connecting with your cushion, your chair, the floor. Letting go of any thoughts that arise, especially thoughts of the past, how the day went, or worrying about what we're going to be doing after class, letting all of that go. And bringing your full attention, your full awareness to the physical, felt, tactile sensations where your body's contacting solidity, the floor, the cushion, the chair. And this is a way too of grounding down and connecting with the Mother Earth. You're feeling that connection, grounding. And then allowing awareness to begin to rise up slowly through your body, scanning for any physical sensations that your awareness may encounter. And if you notice any tension or pain, you might want to try breathing into the center of it, as if the breath were drawn magnetically into the center. On the in-breath, and then on the exhalation, allowing that tension or that pain, inviting it to release with the breath. Scanning all the way up to the crown of your head, connection with the Father Sky. And then bringing awareness to rest on the felt sensations of breath in the belly for a few breaths, a few rounds of exhalation and inhalation. Now we will begin our metta, loving kindness meditation. And we'll be doing a metta meditation where we first find our access point, our beginning of that warmth of our heart, and then begin to direct it towards ourselves. So bring to mind one small thing that you can love, that you love easily. For me, I've used the example of a small abandoned kitten. And allowing that to be very present in your mind's eye. It's good, it's helpful sometimes to make it an imaginary being, like a generic abandoned kitten, not one that you know. Whatever brings that sense of your heart going, softening and going, ah, oh. And as your heart begins to have that feeling of softening, of melting, of warmth, feel that glow in your heart, that loving kindness. And begin to speak to that sweet being. Something like, little being, you need never feel alone again. Never feel afraid, because I love you. I will look after you. Wherever you go, whatever you do, my heart will welcome you, always. I give you my loving kindness. I wish you all happiness. I wish you to be safe. I wish you to be free from all suffering. And for a moment, sitting with that felt sense in your heart, feeling it radiating out to this lovable being. And you can use whatever images or words come to you. Releasing the image of the being, allow your awareness to come just to the sensations in your heart, the feeling. Notice if there's a feeling of a warm glow, a sense of loving kindness, a warm heart, a tender heart. Now bring to mind someone in your life who it's very easy for you to love, to feel warm towards. This person or animal will be someone probably close to you, very uncomplicated, but again, as soon as you call them to mind, you may feel a sense of lightness, of joy, of ease, of belonging, of connection. And again, paint a picture with words or with feelings that helps grow that loving kindness in your heart towards them, the warmth, the love, the caring. It's the wish that they be happy. The wish that they have contentment and ease. That all material goods come to them. That all spiritual meaning come to them. Again, letting them know, oh dear friend, I give you my love with no conditions. I'll always be there for you. The door of my heart will always be open to you. I truly care for you. Again, using whatever images or words help fan the fire in your heart of love, loving kindness. And again, releasing the image of your dear one. Bring your awareness to your heart. Notice how it feels. Are you feeling a sense of warmth? It may not be a big sense of warmth, but it may just be a sense of tenderness, of caring. Many different ways that loving kindness is experienced. It may just be an image of seeing them happy and you delighting in their happiness. And then when you're ready, bring an image of yourself to mind. Any image of yourself that generates a sense of loving kindness. For many, it's the image of themselves as a baby or a child. Sometimes it's an image of yourself at a very happy event. A graduation, birth of a child, whatever it is that opens your heart towards yourself, even just a little softening, tenderness. And again, painting a picture of loving kindness towards yourself with images or loving words. You may say something like, dearest self, I truly wish you happiness. May you have all emotional happiness. May you have all physical happiness. May you have all spiritual happiness. I wish you well. Dearest self, I give you my love always. I will open the door to my heart, of my heart to you. Whatever words come to you, or images, to sit with these for a moment. again, allowing the image of yourself to release. And again, checking in with your heart. How does it feel? How is your heart mind? Is there a sense of warmth towards yourself? Some tenderness, some opening? And releasing all images, releasing the focus of your attention at your heart, allowing your awareness again to rest for a few exhalations and inhalations on your breath. And then allowing your awareness to expand into the whole room, bringing movement back to your body as you're ready and opening your eyes. So what I'd like to do is again start tonight just by turning around and introducing yourself to someone nearby that maybe you haven't met before. Say hi if it's someone you have met before. Okay, so that meditation was a little bit longer than I expected. Sometimes that happens, but I'm going to start with just a review, so again we're remembering where we are, catch us up to speed. So we're talking about the four immeasurables, the Brahma Viharas, and next slide, please. So they're immeasurable love, or Maitri, or Metta, immeasurable compassion, or Karuna, immeasurable joy, which is mudita, and immeasurable equanimity, which is upeksha. And the basic practice that we do, that is traditional, is made in the Tibetan. I always have to say this because if you go to a Vipassana center, it will be slightly different variation. But it's may all mother sentient beings have happiness and its causes. May all mother sentient beings be free from suffering and its causes. And again, that's loving kindness. And then karuna, or immeasurable compassion. May all mother sentient beings never be separated from the bliss that knows no suffering. And that's sympathetic joy. And may all mother sentient beings dwell in equanimity, free of bias, attachment, and aversion. So I'm, again, like I mentioned last week, I thought, oh good, I get to do a 6-week class on this instead of just a shorter course this time. And now that I'm at 6 weeks, I'm like, I need 10 weeks. And I thought if I had 10 weeks, I'd be like, I need 12 weeks. But I kind of always like that, right? So we're working now, we started with immeasurable love, the first one, which is metta, loving kindness. And it's that Metta Sutra of like a caring mother holding and guarding the life of her only child, so with a boundless heart of loving kindness, hold yourself and all beings as your beloved children, right? So again, yourself and all beings. That's just where our entry point was. And loving kindness, that's our little awe. So if you need an image for loving kindness, there we are, right? Our heart melts. And it's that thing that may all beings have happiness in its causes, or may all mother sentient beings have happiness in its causes. So one of the things that came up, I think it was last week, was, well, it feels a lot of times like we're practicing this, but we're not really sure anything's happening. Like, I don't know if my heart's doing anything whatsoever. And if that's happening, why would I come back to this practice over and over again? Because, like, I'm not getting the results. Well, first of all, I'd like to remind us we're the McDonald's culture, right? We like our French fries just the way we want them, delivered to us within 4 minutes. Right. And if that is the McDonald's standard, 4 minutes. So that's kind of how we want the results of all of our practices to go, too, right? We want our enlightenment. That's that old cartoon. What do we want?
Enlightenment.
When do we want it?
Now!
So these practices, and I'll circle around to this a little bit, we have to stay with them. We have to let them settle in and embody and mature and, I was going to say, ripen like a good wine. I don't know if that's a good metaphor. ripen like a good cheese, maybe. And so the other thing is to feel like what the motivation is. So the Buddha understood this, and he taught a lot of things about the benefits of these practices so that we would have some motivation to remind us why when we don't really feel like it or don't feel like it's working so well. And so the Metta Sutra, the big one, says that loving kindness achieves three important things. One is it helps us overcome anger. So maybe none of you in this room have ever experienced anger or don't have it come up. In which case, that wouldn't be such a benefit for you. But if you happen to be someone that sometimes has anger come over up, this Metta Sutra says this will be the counter to that kind of violent, destructive force that we think of as the possession of anger, that anger that just takes us over as a mental affliction. The other is that it says it helps us develop concentration, and especially the concentration that develops into wisdom, the foundation of wisdom. And we forget this. You know, we always think effort, like furrowed brow, try harder, we'll get there. But often it's pleasure and relaxation and meditation that actually helps us to develop our concentration. So loving kindness, because it feels good when we start to soften and open it, then it just naturally helps the concentration deeper. And it's fun while you do it, because it feels good. And the other is it says it creates healthy relationships with every living being. Right? So the Buddha actually said that loving-kindness meditation specifically, all the four immeasurables, he said this, but he said the benefit of practicing this is it creates a happy family, a happy society, and a happy world. So I suddenly had this vision as I was preparing for the class. What would it be like instead of sending out an army of in the military, we send out an army of loving kindness teachers, right? Like, uh-huh. And practitioners. So we spent all our time and money dispersing loving kindness around the world. That would be such a different life. I mean, it would transform the world, right? And people are doing that, and they're bringing it into the schools, they're bringing it into the workplace, and it's making a difference. So I'm going to leave you with that and these, which are handouts with some of the traditional benefits that come out of the texts. And you can put this up on your mirror, or you can put it on your desk. So wherever you want, so if you feel like, now why do I want to do this again? Just put this out, you can read it, and hopefully it will be inspiration. There should be some more. Are there more? Making it around.
Yeah.
Okay. So we spent almost 2.5 or at least 2 full sessions on loving kindness. We only have a few sessions left, so I'm going to finish that up. Oh, the question, the big question. Is it working? I don't know if any of you have noticed this, but whenever I teach, I actually start doing the practice. I incorporate it into my daily life because I have such a vast array of practices. If I really tried to keep up on them all, I couldn't do them in 24 hours. It would be impossible. So I cycle into them when I'm teaching. So I've been doing the metta meditation. And I started feeling like I don't really know that it's working this time. Like I'm not feeling this big shift in my heart or anything huge. And that's okay. So I stayed with it. And then I started noticing these little things, like someone cut me off on the freeway, and instead of doing my usual judgmental cursing of them, the Buddhist curse, I was like, oh, may you be happy. You know, may you be safe. Usually what came up immediately is may you be safe, because I'm thinking, ooh, they just did something that's a little unsafe, like exact, and it was immediately, may you be safe. And I was like, wow, okay, that's cool. And then I walked down by the river, and last week I had these 2 encounters with this big old huge, not this specific one, American bulldog. I didn't know what an American bulldog was until I ran into this big old American bulldog that's being walked by a rather slight lady who has one of these and then a small one. And her dog see my dog, and the first time they literally pulled her over, and then she got the dogs back up and walked the other way. And the second time, this dog, they weigh 119 pounds, 120 pounds. They're big dogs. And he wasn't mean, he's just huge and strong. And I have these little tiny miniature whippers, you know, they're like a mouthful for this guy. And so the next time these dogs see us, and they pull her over, and then she's holding on, and it's like she's riding in a sled, and they're pulling her. Only the poor, I felt so bad, she had shorts on, and it's all gravelly, and she's being pulled, so finally she let go, right? And so the dogs came running after my dogs, which split. One ran one way, like, one went home, one went the opposite way. And they're pretty fast, even the 15-year-old. And they took off running in 2 different directions, and this big dog came, and I grabbed it and held on, because I'm used to work with horses enough. I took my best guess that I could still manage a dog. And she's going, he's friendly. I'm like, yeah, he's friendly, but he's a little out of control. So what I noticed was, you know, these are my dogs. These are my babies right now. This is who I have. And so normally when I have encounters like this, I try to be a good Buddhist, but it doesn't always happen. And so I start to feel like, get your dog out under control, or things like that. And I noticed what immediately, when she came up to get her dog, I was like, you know, it looks like you're just having a really hard time with this dog. Have you tried a trainer? I have the name of someone really good who could help you. Because I just imagine this was just my reaction. And then as I walked away, and then I was a little worried because my other dog had disappeared, and I found them, and everyone's okay. But I realized this was from the metta practice, you know? So the point being, you may not feel some big explosion in your heart in the practice, but when a spiritual practice is really working, it starts in these little ways often in your life. And so if you begin to see that, it's a sign to keep doing the practice. It's working. And Sharon Salzberg talked about that. She did this for this practice, I think it was for 3 months straight, and about halfway into it, she was going, this isn't working. This just isn't working. Like, I'm bumping my head up against the wall. And then she got called out of her retreat at some point, and she was hurriedly packing, and she bumped something, and it fell over and broke. And she said, immediately she felt this sense of loving kindness towards herself, of, oh, you know, may you be happy, may you be safe, may you be okay. And she said, usually she would have said, oh, you klutz, what have you done again? And so to notice these things, and she went, oh my gosh, it's working. So don't write it off too fast. Stay with it. Right? Has anyone else noticed anything like that happen since you've been doing the practice? I'm getting some nods. Cool. Right? So rejoice in those and let it feed your practice. Keep going. Okay, next. So each immeasurable has what's called the near enemy, and a close enemy. Or a far enemy and a close enemy of the immeasurable. So the far enemy is always the opposite. So here it's very straightforward. It's hatred and aversion and anger, which is basically the willingness to hurt somebody else out of anger, out of trying to get away from what you want. So it's not a righteous, it's anything that closes your heart, makes the other an other, and makes you willing to hurt or harm them because you're pissed off, right? And, or push them away, or close them off. So I think that's pretty straightforward, right? We all probably know what that feels like. And it makes sense given that the Buddha said, well, one of the things that happens when you practice the metta meditation is this far enemy starts to decrease. You start to lose sight of that enemy. Near enemy is interesting. Those are always often something that could masquerade, like you might think it's loving kindness and it's not. And in this case, it's often desire or attachment, but even more, it's like being schmaltzy. Do you know the word schmaltzy? Like over sentimental.
Like a small dog.
It's not a small dog, no. It's like that idea again of, oh, you're such a sweetie, you know, just being a little bit. Syrupy. Does anyone have a really good syrupy? Yeah.
Would that be insincere?
Could be insincere. Yeah, the idea is that it's really actually also about me. The near enemies are often about my attachment. You know, like, I really have some loving kindness towards you as long as you behave the way I want you to. Okay?
15-year-old's a good example of that.
Yeah, she loves you when you...
When she needs something from me, I'm her best friend.
Exactly. Yeah, that would not be loving kindness, okay? That's a good example. It's like, oh, yeah, I noticed that too. It's happening less and less, but it's like when you're... young adult kids move out and they call you and you hear their voice and you immediately think, I wonder how much money they want. yeah.
It's like if you like lose your job, I like lost one of my jobs recently, and then it's like, I'm so nice to these people that could potentially be my employers.
Right.
I'm like, I wasn't this nice before. You know, what's that about?
Exactly. Like you're meeting everyone with loving kindness that might employ you. So that's a difference. Part of how you know it's not loving kindness, that's part of what makes it an immeasurable. A loving kindness is always immeasurable, meaning it has nobody it leaves out, and it doesn't end, right? So that's a great example, Ryan, because as soon as it's loving kindness towards one group of people, or one person and not others, you can realize, oh yeah, I'm feeling this great amount of loving kindness in the world towards these people that can benefit me. Oh, that's right, maybe I should check that out. Okay. Because that means it's linked with desire and attachment.
What do you do in that moment? Yeah.
What do you think? What would you do? Any suggestions?
Acknowledge it.
Who said that? Yeah.
Well,
we always have to start with acknowledging and self-compassion, loving kindness towards ourselves, because it means we have a need or a fear or something usually we're not recognizing. And then once we can have some self-compassion and awareness of that, usually it will begin to lessen up. And then I will go through the meditation and broaden it out. Like, okay, I do want, it's not that you don't want your future employer to be happy, it's just you want them and everyone else to be happy. So, okay.
It would be like to take it out of you to put yourself in the other people's shoes.
That's a good, that comes more towards compassion, but you could definitely do work that here too. Yeah.
What's that mentality? I'm sorry.
Sentimentality is like Hallmark cards.
Insincere.
Kind of insincere,
okay.
You know, kind of saying that, overstating your, I always think of Jewish grandmothers, I don't know. Like, does anyone have a really good definition of sentimentality? Have a good definition of being too sentimental?
I thought it's more of attachment to the past. Like being sentimental of your childhood, your children's childhood, and like holding on to those memories.
Yeah, it could be like that. Yeah, again, there's that grasping quality to it. And it's also right here in the future. Right here in the future! the present and the future is a sense of grasping on. But there's often a little bit of insincerity to it with sentimentality. It's a little overblown, overdone.
But we're going into the drama thing.
Yeah.
Be authentic though.
Pardon?
I think it can be authentic though. Sentimentality.
Like how so?
Something you cherish.
Oh yeah.
That's,
yeah. So
when
good.
When you think of your grandmother, that's a sentimentality. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, no, that's a good thought. It's not that there's anything wrong with that. That's great. So I would say that's actually a feeling of loving kindness, because that brings this real warmth to your heart. And this is exactly why we try and differentiate. So this is it. It's like when you have this, you think of your grandmother and you have this warmth and you wish her well, that's loving kindness. And she's a great person to practice on. And then think of that and then start building that out to other people. So these things, the reason they're the near enemy is they have a little bit of false ring to them. You know, they're not, when you look underneath, they're not this sincere. So when it's really sincere, you could say this is sentimental, and I feel really sentimental about the years I was with my daughter when she was growing up, or with my grandma. That's fine. That can be loving kindness and enjoying and an opening. It's when it kind of, when you're doing it as a practice, it's that you want to find that authentic warmth.
Maybe it's also when you expect or hope to get something in return.
Absolutely.
Just giving it freely.
Yeah.
Or doing it, you know.
Yeah. And that's one of the markers that they say often is, if it's just like Ryan pointed out, if there's any little hook that I'm expecting to get something back and I'm giving it with a slight agenda, that's not loving kindness.
Or I love my maternal grandmother, but not my paternal.
Right.
That woman can burn in hell, but this woman.
Oh my
God. I think because that's what I see a lot in people being sentimental about something. It's for this one person or one event, and everything else was just like, I don't want to hear about it. But this one person is just an angel, and.
Right.
It's that grasping of about.
That's it. And see, that's again the thing, that's what makes the difference between the practice of immeasurable loving kindness. Because again, you could use that person you really think is an angel as your opening with the intention of broadening it out to everybody else. But if you just stay with this person I love and these other people can go burn in hell, as you said, that's not loving kindness. That's attachment. That's sentimentality. Okay? So I wanted to talk, what was next? Oh, daily life practice. So how do we carry this into our day, just some ideas, and we could brainstorm a little bit too, is, here's a couple things that I've heard, and one is mirror, mirror on the wall.
I think I'll call my mother after all.
So the idea here is whenever you look in a mirror and you're doing this practice, these are, so the, if you look at Tibetan texts on any kind of meditation, any kind of sadhana, it always talks about there are two sessions in your life. One is on the cushion and one is off the cushion. It's all meditation, right? But one's on the cushion and one's off the cushion. So what you do off the cushion supports your on the cushion time. So what could you do? In the morning, you get up, you brush your teeth, you look at the mirror, and you think, ah, may you be happy. You know, as you see your reflection, may you be safe. May you be free from all suffering. May you be awake to your life. So you wish yourself the image of yourself, loving kindness, right then and there.
Okay. So you use the you when you're doing loving kindness towards yourself, or I?
You try both. If you have an image towards yourself, sometimes I find of yourself, when I do loving kindness towards myself, I switch back and forth. And I find that different ones, sometimes when I say, may I be happy, may I be safe, may I be free from all suffering, may I be awake to my life. When I say that in the I, it has more felt power. And other times, like if I'm having a hard time and I start with a little image of myself as a baby, sometimes I find the access point, again, that thing of access, what's going to open it up is to say you towards that image of myself as a little baby, a little being. That distance seems to help me get into it. So play around with it. Again, the cool thing about meditation is there's so much leeway to find what it is. Like, you're given the parameters of the practice, and I keep inviting you, you know, try it this way, and then play with the language a little bit. Find out what sets up a resonance in your heart, because some words or images may really work for me. And maybe some of you are, like, severely allergic to cats, and if you think of a little kitten, you immediately feel aversion. You know, that's not going to work for you. So you have to find what sparks you.
Can I offer up one way that I
absolutely
work with it? Sometimes I think of, like, what would make me happy. So, like,
what was that?
Sometimes I think of, like, may I be happy? So, like, what does make me happy? So, like, walking out in nature, feeling the sun shine on my skin. So then I'm like, may I walk in nature and feel the sun on my skin and, like, imagine that I'm there, or, like, think of real images and then use language around that works, and it's just hits it, really works. It's like that.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
You know, I got this flash, this realization that it's eventually we're going to look at ourselves like we look at everyone, and there won't be a separation. We're going to hold everyone as dear and clear as ourselves, and vice versa.
Absolutely.
There won't be separation the way there is now.
Right. That's it. You got it.
But yeah. I'm not there.
That's all right. It's only in your mind eventually.
It's right. Okay. It's yeah.
And I never thought that until now. Never That's realized it. That.
Yeah.
It feels so good when you meditate and you're thinking about giving all that love to everybody.
Yeah.
And then when you're not meditating and you're in the real world, you're just not thinking about it. Like, I find when I'm here, I feel so good and I'm so glad I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I go to work and I'm doing my thing, you know, I'm thinking about all the things I got to do. I'm not in that zone.
Right.
Because I don't feel...
Right. And that's where the thing is to start. That's why trying to bring it into daily life just a little bit begins to carry it through a little bit more. So you begin to create a two-minute zone or a three-minute zone for yourself. And there are a lot of ways to do that. And then you start to actually begin to... You could divide your whole workday into 8 hours, and out of every 8 hours you have a 3-minute meditation session.
I was going to say something very similar. I also struggle with this, and more in the beginning than I do now, but I've been walking the road for about 5 years. I started putting like the when you gave us the prayer the other day, you know, I treat myself with loving kindness. I took a little picture of the screen and I printed it out. So it's small, and I have it on my document handler at work. So when I pull stuff off, it's right there. And like today, I was having kind of crazy deadlines. It was an incredibly busy day. I had no idea how I was going to get everything done. So I meditated for 5 minutes. I gave myself 5 minutes to catch my breath, you know, close my eyes, practice for a few minutes, and it totally invigorated me, gave me the calm that I needed, and I wasn't stressed out the rest of the day. So, but by putting that little, and I work for the state, so we can't put a lot of icons around, right? They won't, you know, they discourage that because of, you know. But that one little thing is just right there on my document handler. So I can move stuff if I want to, and it's right there. You know, a little, or I'll write out a mantra and just cut it out skinny and with a piece of tape it around my monitor. Right? Just little things like that help keep it in my mind during the day to remind, keep to build the habit of going for refuge. Yeah. I've built so many habits in my lifetime, right? But now I'm beginning to realize the challenge it takes to build them, right? Unless they're tasty or bad for me.
Can I say, or would you say what you do? Can you talk about what you do, or is it okay if I say about the listening to Dharma during the day when you can?
I'm not sure what you're referring to, but you may inform
okay.
me about what I do. I don't know.
Well, we mentioned that you often listen to Dharma when you can, like when you're at work, right?
Well, yeah, I listen to these talks, or I listen to audible books.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm listening to one right now about no self, Atma. What is it?
Anatma, yeah.
And he's making some very interesting points about this reference to the I and the me and the separation.
Cool.
Yeah.
So if you're doing, if you're doing something that's rote and you're allowed to have a Dharma talk on, that just kind of saturates your mind and inspires and creates. You know, so again, it's something you could download a talk on loving kindness or no self or something that supports the practice you're doing. And then that's what I do with why I got an iPod. Because then I could put it in my, I guess everyone uses your
iPhone
now, right? Just stick it in your pocket with your, and put everything on your iPhone. And then as you're sweeping the house, you can be listening to a Dharma talk. You know, and it really changes your day. And this is exactly what we're talking about. It's like, what are these little things we can do during our day to bring us back to our practice? So one thing, like what Pamela's talking about, is this is why you use little trigger reminders, like the mirror. Oh yeah, first thing in the morning, or last thing at night, or both, when I look in the mirror, I'm going to do this practice. Right. And that's my trigger when I look in the mirror. And then you might find that every time you look in the mirror, you start doing it. Mm-hmm. And then how cool is that? Because then just for 1 minute, every time you use the restroom, during the day, you're doing a loving kindness practice. And how's that going to change your mind during the day? What kind of zone will that put you in, you know? It's really cool. The other one I like is stop, drop, and roll. So the idea is, you stop at a red light, so that's your reminder. Red light, okay, instead of sitting there fuming that you're late, you immediately drop, this is the drop part, down into your heart, okay? So you've stopped, you've dropped, and then you roll out some love and kindness to people. So stop, drop, and roll. So what I mean there is like, just start looking at the people in the car next to you or going by you. And just start saying, may you be happy. May you be safe. May you be free from all suffering. May you be awake to your life, just as the people go by. And how long does this traffic light last?
10 minutes.
Or what?
Probably like two, maybe.
Maybe 2 minutes?
Maybe.
So then you've got it again, every time you're at a red light, suddenly you have a 2 minute practice session. See what I mean? So this is the way to start building and weaving it into your life. So we'll take a break in a minute, but does anyone else have any? Yeah.
This one time when I was driving down the freeway, I don't know what happened, but I had this idea of, as I was passing people, to look at their face and imagine what their face would look like if they were smiling or happy.
Uh-huh.
And by the time I got a few miles down, I was happy.
Yeah, there you go.
Because usually people's, you know, everyone's face, including mine, is pretty serious.
Yeah.
Just to imagine what their smiling face would look like, lit me up.
That's great. I love that. Yeah.
Well,
Well, I go on, I've been taking up walking lately in the morning. I'll walk about a half hour and I pass people. And sometimes they're on their headphones, not paying any attention. And I just smile, I kind of make, mm-hmm. Sometimes they're very friendly, but I always try to make some contact.
Cool, yeah.
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 And some really respond and others are just, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but you, again, you feel like your heart's going out, right?
Yeah.
That's the idea, is loving kindness is radiating out love towards others, wanting them to be well, wanting them to be happy. So just, that I do that too as I go, you know, my morning walk. I just be doing this with all the animals, the birds, the people.
Oh, there was a flock of wild turkeys on my walk, which really surprised me. On
wow.
T Street, residential neighborhood. It was weird. The cars waited while they crossed the street. It was kind of exciting.
I wonder if they're visiting from Davis. Okay.
In town, Thanksgiving is coming.
Great, so let's take a 5-minute break.
Can everyone who's going to be taking refuge vows on Sunday see me for a minute?
Maybe we'll two or three.